Hello, everybody. Welcome to Let the Music Play, podcast number two. It takes two and it used to take one, the famous David Ryan Adams told us. So glad that you've come back to join us. I hope last week was equally as fun of a journey for you as it was for me. I've had the opportunity to chat with quite a few people, really, that listened to the podcast around the country last week, as we really gave an overview to just a big look at what Let the Music Play means, what it stands for, and really what our hope is for this whole podcast here. If you're new here, if you weren't able to join us last week, this is where we're going to talk about what it means and what it looks like to make music with your life, your relationships, and your business, your vocation. That is the thing that I think about all day long. And it started back in 2006 for me when I wrote a song called Let the Music Play that was really a defining moment in my life. And from that day, I've never been the same. I've looked at really life and the success of life or living right as, you know, looking at it through the lens of music or noise. Am I making music or am I making noise? And really, I've taken that metaphor and it has spilled over into not only my business and my personal life, but my relationships, my marriage, raising my children. I think it's my life calling, full disclosure. And so thanks so much for coming back. And just to recap, anytime you hear me talk about music here, unless we are actually talking about an artist or a specific song or record or album, the music that I refer to here is the experience that is heard, felt, and seen, and the story that unfolds when one's divine identity comes together, comes alive, and crescendos in this world we exist in. When one's divine identity, core consciousness, God giftings, core beliefs, core values, whatever, you name it, when those things come together, come alive, and crescendo in this world we exist in, that's the music that I'm talking about. So that gets me excited. And hey, your music is your music. Your music is success on your terms. I am not here to tell you that I have this thing figured out. I hope that after you hear me each and every time we get to share on this podcast, that I confess I don't have it figured out at all. I'm just trying to piece this thing together, connect some dots, and make some music out of what God's put at my fingertips. So that being said, glad you're back. Podcast number two. It is going to be today. This is a podcast about presence. When I enter spring, when I enter the season of spring, I'm awakened to just the beauty and everything that really is going on around me. I mean, all of a sudden, the dormant earth becomes alive. The overcast of autumn and winter moves on. The skies turn blue. There's a different feel in the air. The flowers begin to burst up through the dirt. There's just something about it. The Masters comes on. There's just something about this season of our year that is electric. And it brings me back to presence. And I think of the hardest, most difficult things that we have, and I'm going to speak on behalf, I think, of my generation, the most difficult barrier that we have today is being present. There is so much to do, so many apps, social media platforms to check in, post, pin, tweet, you name it. There's 100 shows to TiVo and watch. There's 100 different things that we need to do, websites to check out, things we have to buy, places we have to be, and yet we miss being present in the moment, and yet that's all that we really, really have. So I wanted to chat through today just kind of what's been on my heart as far as presence goes. Because I think if there's one area that I've had breakthrough in the last 12 months, in my life and my relationships and business, it's been in the conversation of presence. You know, I often think that if you've spent any time around church at all, or any time you go to a eulogy, the pastor or someone speaking there typically says something along the lines of, so-and-so has now passed away, they've moved on to another place, and God has said to them, well done. Now, I think something like that probably does happen on the other side of the veil. I don't know. I don't have any cognitive knowledge of that or have read it anywhere. But I think that my culture and the question that God's going to ask us on the other side of the veil is going to be, were you even there? Like, not so much did you do, but were you even present with the beauty and the wonder and the awe that I set before you? Like, I gave you these children, and were you there with them? Did you teach them? Did you enlighten them? Did you share with them? Did you nurture them? I gave you this business. Were you there? Or were you more caught up about at mentions and retweets and posting and this and that? Were you even there in that business that I put in your lap? And that relationship that I gave you, that husband or wife, were you there with him or her? Did you nurture her? Did you love her? Or were you so caught up in what else is going on in the world that you missed what was there right in front of you? I think that's the big question that's going to be in front of us. One of the quotes that I've heard before about presence and about what happens when we are actively present in our presence. Now, that seems funny to say, but when we are actively present in our presence, Marianne Williamson, who you've probably heard part of this quote before, she talks about letting your light shine, and when your light shines, you know what it does for others. This quote, she says, "And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." Our presence automatically liberates others. And what I gather from that quote, and what I think Marianne is trying to get at there, is when you are fully here and now and in this moment, I think there's something really, 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 really refreshing to the people that are around you in that scenario. Some of my mentors, some are my age, some are older, some are 4 decades ahead of me, some are 5 decades ahead of me. There is something about them that is so present. Some of these older men that have fed into me, that have taken time, some of which run multi-million dollar corporations, they are with me when I'm with them, if that makes sense. They look me in the eye, they ask questions like, how are you? And they don't just mean it like, how are you? They mean like, no, how are you? And so I would encourage you that as you enter this spring season, that you would really get into just presence, what it means to be present, what it means to be here and now. Because I think so much of our days is weighted down in some regrets or shame of our past, or weighted down in an anxiety of what's ahead that we don't even know is really true, that we miss what's here, what's right in front of us, and I don't want you to miss it. So part of the music, part about what it looks like to make music is you have to be present. You have to be there. You have to know about all the other musicians and the other instruments and what they're doing, and you've got to be in tempo. You've got to be in key. You've got to be in rhythm, and you only do that by being present. Yeah, man, that's good. We could stop right there. So I want to chat about a book, and a book that really spoke to me. I read this book, I think it was sometime last year, if not the year before, and it was an awakening to me about presence and really what it means to be present. It's written by a guy named Eckhart Tolle. It's called The Power of Now, and the beautiful thing I love about this guy is he's been quoted by saying it's the only book he has. Like, it's all, like, this idea, The Power of Now, is the only idea that he really has. He goes, I don't have anything else to write about. That's it. If we get this, There you go. Everything else should make sense. And I love that. I love a guy that's so convicted about just one thing in his life, and he's going to make it about awakening all of us to the reality of just how beautiful, how transcendent, how divine, how purposeful right now is, this moment. And so I'm just going to read you guys a couple excerpts out of this book that spoke to me. This is coming out of chapter 3, and it's called Moving Deeply into the Now. And yeah, so kind of follow me here for a second. Since ancient times, spiritual masters of all traditions have pointed to the now as the key to the spiritual dimension. Despite this, it seems to have remained a secret. It is certainly not taught in churches and temples. If you go to a church, you may hear readings from the Gospels, such as, "Take no thought for the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself," or, "Nobody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Or you might hear a passage about beautiful flowers that are not anxious about tomorrow, but live with ease in the timeless now, and are provided for abundantly by God. The depth and radical nature of these teachings are not recognized. No one seems to realize that they are meant to be lived and so bring about a profound inner transformation. And I get that. One of the most overlooked things that Jesus ever said to us was, "Hey, have you looked at the flowers in a while? Have you looked at the birds lately?" And while he was asking us, you know, "Don't you know I got this all under control?" I think in the same speech, he was asking all of us, "Have you even taken time to look around at the beauty and the miracle of what's around you?" I hope wherever you're at, from sea to shining sea, that spring is doing its thing, and that somewhere there is just a yard full of tulips that will grab your attention. That some deep, deep green tree has just the most vibrant bread cardinal that's singing his song, and I hope that you in that moment get to sense that. Have you ever had a sunset that you feel like it was just for you? Like you almost look around to see if anyone's looking because you are overwhelmed in just how beautiful it is. Have you seen the birds lately? Have you seen the flowers? That is the question of the spring, I think, for all of us, is, are you awake? Are you blooming with me? Are you blooming with the universe that's going on? That's a beautiful, 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 beautiful thing. Now, the next thing that he says, and this is kind of about trying to stay in the now and how sometimes we escape it with all different types of things. I think social media, television, things like that is a really easy way to escape the now. But he says this. He says, "If you find it hard to enter the now directly, start by observing the habitual tendency of your mind to want to escape from the now. You will observe that the future is usually imagined as either better or worse than the present. If the imagined future is better, it gives you hope or pleasurable anticipation. If it's worse, it creates anxiety. Both are illusory. Through self-observation, more presence comes into your life automatically. The moment you realize you are not present, you are present." I love that. "Whenever you are able to observe your mind, you are no longer trapped in it. Another factor has come in, something that is not of the mind, the witnessing presence. Be present as the watcher of your mind, of your thoughts and emotions, as well as your reactions in various situations. Be at least as interested in your reactions as in the situation or person that causes you to react. Notice also how often your attention is in the past or future. Don't judge or analyze what you observe. Watch the thought, feel the emotion, observe the reaction. Don't make a personal problem out of them. You will feel something more powerful than any of those things that you observe, the still observing presence itself behind the content of your mind, the silent watcher." So a little bit there is, I think sometimes we just have to actively stop and watch ourselves think for a minute, watch ourselves be in the moment, not allow emotions to run all over us, not allow what some guy said to get us so fired up or wound up. Presence, when we actively participate in being presence, we can gather the content of what all's going in our minds, and we can say, hey, what, how and where do I need to step forward in that? I love just the words of that. I think it's beautiful. And Eckhart Tolle, this book, again, The Power of Now. I'll put the link to it in Amazon in the show notes, and you guys will definitely get to see it. But I think that's a great book for all of us, and I hope you guys will check it out. Now, when we talk about presence, and we talk about it from the sense of business, one of the things that I do when I go around the country and speak is I have an hour and a half breakout session on time management, which right out of the chute, I confess, is really funny because you cannot manage time. You can't manage time. None of us can look at the sun and say, hey, sun, I need you to pause at 1 o'clock p.m., I got to go run a few errands. I'll be back a little bit later. You can't do that. And I have this big sheet of paper in my office that just has the number 1,440 written on it. And the reason I have that there is because 1,440 is the number of minutes there are in a day. That's the same number of minutes that Warren Buffett has. That's the same number of minutes that Barack Obama has. That's the same number of minutes that Bill Gates has. That's the same number of minutes that Michael Phelps has, that Rory McIlroy has. You name it, whoever is someone that you would say, and whatever they do, they are successful. We've all got the same number of minutes. So I think the question is, really, if you really want to get bird's eye above it and understand time management, is, are you even present in the minutes that you have? Because if you sleep 8 hours, now all of a sudden you're already below 1,000 minutes left in the day. Chances are you're going to take an hour or so getting ready. Chances are you're going to get dressed, take a shower, have lunch, eat dinner. When you look at it, you probably have only somewhere around about 600 minutes each and every day where you're really available to do, participate, create something out of nothing, be in that moment. And so what I did, and this will be available soon on my website for purchase. For my business, I created this thing called 60 Daily Points of Rhythm. And what this system is it's a way for me to engage every single day so that I can know if what I do today is going to make me successful tomorrow. It's a little bit like the law of the harvest. Like, you've got to plant something today in order to harvest something tomorrow. If you want to have flowers grown tomorrow, you've got to plant seeds today. If I want to have business tomorrow, I have to intersect the marketplace and communicate with people today. It's the law of the harvest. So in spring, like, there's nowhere else when we get to see the law of the harvest as good as the spring, because we get to see the bud of everything. We get to see the wheat fields start to come up that were planted last year. We get to participate in all that. 60 daily points of rhythm for me is I earn a number of points through different things that I do. So if I make 10 phone calls, I get 10 points. If I make 25 phone calls, I get 25 points. For every handwritten note I get a point. For every personal email I send, I get a point. For a lunch appointment with a client or someone that's in my sphere of influence, I get 10 points. I'm in the real estate business, so if I get a property listed or I put something under contract or I have a closing, that's another 10 points. I have found that if I get 60 points a day and 300 points in a week and 15,000 points in a year, then I have about 100 deals that I end up doing a year. On any given year, I'll sell somewhere between 90 and 120 homes by myself. And I've found that it takes about 15,000 moments of being present to get that 100 to 120 sales every year. So that's kind of how I've taken Tolle's thoughts on the power of now. One thing that I'm designing, and we may do this in a podcast in the next couple months or so, I'm creating a daily presence sheet. And we're going to get so deep into it. It's going to be, was I present with my wife? Was I present with my children? Were there things that I wanted to do? Were there conversations that I had to have? Did I drink 8 glasses of water? Like just random things where we get at the end of our day and we go, oh my gosh, I don't even know how I got to the end of this day. And the reality is that we didn't tell our day where it was going. We just went wherever it told us to go. And so being present and actively participating in being present, I think is one of the biggest things and one of the biggest leaps that I've had as far as success goes with my business and life and personal relationships. And maybe nowhere else better can I really, really feel this than with my children. I will confess, I am not perfect by any means, but today, I can say today, my girls know who their dad is. They know that I love them. We have a million inside jokes. We have all these different things, these looks that we give each other, and they're 2 and they're 4 years old, but we are divinely connected. And that is by really, 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 really diving into presence. My wife does this infinitely better than I do. She is, I think all you got to do is check out her Instagram feed. If I knew the handle, I would imagine it's Bryn Gustafson. But check it out. Watch how she captures moments. My mantra is let the music play. Her mantra is be grateful. Today matters. And, you know, she gets that. Like, she is grateful. She knows that the presence counts, She knows that today matters, and she does a great job of really, really just keeping a history book of our present moments as a family. I'm super grateful for that. So, thanks, Bryn. You're awesome. Music today. All right, so a quick guy I want you to check out. It's a guy named David Ramirez. I'll put a link in the show notes to his Spotify feed. This guy's voice just sounds like glory, cigarettes, and whiskey. I don't know how else to say it, but that's what it sounds like to me. And he's a beautiful songwriter. You can hear in his voice that he has been present in these songs and that he's writing about stuff that he's felt, places he's seen, moments he's been in, and it's beautiful. He's got a song on there called Find the Light. Wanted to read you guys these lyrics because I thought they were beautiful. David Ramirez's song right here is called Find the Light. It says, I wish upon you peace. I wish upon you grace. I wish for less of what you want and more of what you need. I wish upon you an old life with a heart that stays young. But most of all, I wish upon you love. I wish upon you truth when all you feel is doubt. I hope you know that an open mind still knows when to shut things out. I wish upon you a brave heart that will always rise above, but most of all, I wish upon you love. And as the sun sets, the moon begins to rise, so even in the darkness, you'll find the light. Oh, it's so good. That's my language right there. Let's say it again. As the sun sets, the moon begins to rise, so even in the darkness, you'll find the light. Yes, even in the darkness, you'll find the light. He ends the song by saying, I wish upon you an easy life. I wish upon you hard times. I hope you know that both joy and pain each need their moment to shine. I wish you ears that are quick to listen and that you're slow to use that tongue. But most of all, I wish upon you love. As the sun sets, the moon begins to rise. So even in the darkness, you will find the light. Amen to the power of 10 on that. Give David Ramirez a spin. Beautiful record just to kind of drive outside of the city to as you work in the garden, as you read a book, as you hang out with your family this week. Turn this guy on. It's really, really good. It gets kind of folky. Gets kind of Husker Du there in a little bit in some places, but really, really, really love it. I think you'll enjoy it. Hard to not like this record. So, trying to wrap up. Man, these things go longer than I thought they were ever going to go. Didn't know I can talk for 30 minutes. So, random thoughts. So, this podcast has all been about presence, right? In Exodus chapter 24, God calls Moses up to the top of the mountain. And he says, "Hey, Moses, and when you get up there, stay there." And the Jewish rabbinical scholars, they will say the translation to stay there, to be there, really is this word called haya. I mean, it sounds like Karate Kid, right? Haya. And the beautiful thing of what that haya really means that God was telling Moses was, hey, when you get there, be there. Like when you get to the top of the mountain, be on the top of the mountain. And I think that for today's day and age and for us, that I don't know if there's a more beautiful way to say, be there. That haya needs to kind of come over our lives and into our days, because between cell phones and Twitter and whatever TV shows, how many times have you been in a moment, but you've really been somewhere else? Like how many times have you been on vacation, but you're really at your office? Or how many times are you at your office, but you're really in your mind on vacation? How many times have you been down coloring with your children with the crayons and your mind is really, really elsewhere? You see, I think God knew that part of our humanity is that we would spend so much energy crawling and climbing and running up mountains that when we get to the top of them, we may even forget to be there. And so he invites us into a haya. He says, yeah, don't worry about getting down the mountain. Don't worry about running down the mountain now. You've climbed up here. Be there. It's a beautiful, beautiful way. And so I hope that you will allow that haya to sit over your moments, over your work, over your life, over your relationships. You'll look people in the eye. You'll be with your moments. You'll get lost in that sunset. When you're in a book, you read that book. When you're watching a movie, you watch that movie. When you write a note to somebody, you write that note. Be in those moments. And I hope that spring becomes as electric for you as it's been for me. I hope that you have a chance this week, and as really the seasons move into spring, that you become present with the blooms that are out there. You will be present with the here and the now, that you will be present with today, today's conversations, today's beauty, and today's work that needs to be done. So I'll leave you in a benediction, as always. So may you be here. May you be in and with the questions of your children. May you be in and with the needs of those you serve. And may you be in and with the moments of those that God has given you to experience this grand and glorious place with. May your eye catch and hold the explosions of the bloom of spring. And may your soul find the courage to listen and answer the flowers' questions to us all. Are you in bloom? And are you here and present? So may you pause by the orchid, listen to the bluebird, and be love.